It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time to sparkle.
Welcome, citizens of Sparkle Town. This is Klaus Heide, your deputy mayor, speaking. Sparkle Town is a municipality that intersects and overlaps with the city of Berlin. It is ruled by the Contessa, and its citizens are basically anyone who is tolerant, exciting, lovely,
and fabulous.
And fabulous. You heard the Contessa. This is episode 4, in which we get a visit from Judy La Divina.
For me, if I'm playing, then I'm all in. I don't know how to play safe. I want everything.
Judy La Divina wants everything.
If you look at her show at the Axel Hotel on Fridays, it looks like she has everything.
Oh, indeed.
Gold backdrop, gorgeous outfits, the black gloves. She looks like a million bucks.
Yeah, absolutely. And as will be mentioned in the interview, she also lip syncs in more than one, more than two, more than three, more than 10 languages. You'll see how many later.
I want to, I don't want to rush this recording right now. We're just doing the bumpers for this because we've already talked to Judy, but it is Friday and I'm getting ready to get dressed so I can go to the show.
That's right. Yeah. Every Friday at the Axel Hotel, Judy La Divina does drag and drinks, and it's entry free. Of course, you are invited to tip the performers because it's usually Judy and at least one other act. And it's worth seeing if you are... not that rich, then I guess you can throw them a little bit of money, but throw them some paper money. They do this. It's not, as mentioned in the previous episode, it's not cheap to do drag.
It's not. And Judy has decided to keep this show with a free entry. So what you would normally spend to get into a drag show, anywhere from 5 to 15 euro.
Ooh.
Hang on to that, buy a drink and put the rest in Judy's bag.
Exactly. And it's a lovely place and it's a lovely mood. And like Judy mentions here in the interview, sometimes there's 10 people, sometimes there's 100. So you never really know what you're going to get, except that you're going to get a good show.
You're going to get Judy.
I have in the house with me today the wonderful, the fabulous, amazing, and loving Miss...
Well, my name is Judy La Divina, and thank you for all your compliments. Super happy to be here.
Thank you, Judy. I'm so happy you were able to come over and talk to us today.
Of course. Once you offered, I was like, yeah, I'm in.
Talk to me. Tell me about how you came to be a drag star in Berlin.
Well, thank you for calling me a drag star. I'm still working on it as far as I'm concerned, but I'm definitely aiming very high with this. I arrived to Berlin a bit more than 2 years ago, had a bit of money, savings, academic ambitions, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just started to hang out a bit in the city. It happened to be that my first night out, I met a fabulous drag queen.
Oh.
And she's also coming from Tel Aviv. We never met or knew each other. But it was very immediate. I was approaching her at the beginning in English. I was like, hey, how are you? Oh my God, you're so beautiful. And then we met a few times and I started helping her as a choreographer, because basically my background on stage is as a dancer, director. I did a lot of productions back in Israel.
Okay.
And whenever I used to show her a move or tell her anything, she would be like, you're so good, you should do it. Oh, you should do drag. And I was like, no. But then one day we were in Amsterdam and she was really pushing, like, you should try it. It's a once in a lifetime experience. And I was like, well, actually, she's right. Why not? So I painted myself in drag. I looked like a version of Amy Winehouse in a way. And we went to the streets. I got so much attention. And I was like, I want to use that.
Uh-huh.
Like, there is a reason I get all this attention, and I want to use it. And that was the moment where I had, like, okay, I can imagine myself being a drag queen.
Wow.
And yeah, then how it, well, that, yeah, a long story how I started doing it actually on stage, but.
But you recently celebrated a year of doing on stage in one location, a weekly show.
True, which I'm super, super happy and I feel blessed that I had this opportunity. Once I figured I want to do drag, I immediately tried to picture myself, like, where do I want to go? Mm-hmm. For me, if I'm playing, then I'm all in. I don't know how to play safe. Like, you know, I don't keep my cards. I want everything. So I really practiced a lot before I hit the stage for the first time. Oh. I was 6 months in the house, not working, spending my savings on makeup, wigs, which I've ruined and still are not perfect, but whatever. I always say you fail if you stop trying, and I haven't stopped trying, so it's not a failure yet. And I practiced a lot. Especially what I mostly focused on was my lip sync, mm-hmm. my stage performance, my body language, what type of queen I want to be, how I want to, who is Judy, basically, mm-hmm. creating, taking Ronan to creating Judy and to give her her own life. And then I performed in an endless open stages, just like, please take me, take me. And one time I was lucky enough to have a failed date. We just met, and like 2 minutes later, it was very clear it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But then he was like, yeah, so what do you do in your life? And that was the first time I said, totally confident, I'm a drag queen. And the first thing he did was like, oh, I'm working at this bar. Maybe I can get you a gig. He was super fascinated. We turned out to be best friends. And basically, he managed to pull the strings, so I'll get my first solo show. And it was Silver Future in Icon. The manager was like, yeah, sure, she can come and do whatever. And what I decided to do is to bring something very theatrical. It was one track of 40 minutes.
Wow.
Of me having a dialogue with myself in my room, preparing for my first show. And that was the process I realized, this is what I want to do. I want to perform. I want to be on stages. So I started pushing it and pushing it. First time I got an offer from Axel was July last year.
The Axel Hotel. Actually not that far from the center of town.
Yeah, it's very... Actually, it's funny because my very first time in Berlin ever, I was staying in Axel Hotel. Like, the hotel is very... It defined as hetero-friendly.
Yes, we loved that when we saw the sign in there. We're hetero-friendly. I come from a time period where seeing a hotel that said we're gay-friendly was going, oh, this is good. This is nice.
And this is why we love Berlin.
Yes, indeed.
They can have hetero-friendly hotels. Yeah, and then I never imagined myself performing there in drag, a weekly show. At the beginning was very hard. Like, because after the first show and the second show, which, like, you get all your friends and everybody you know, then, you know, people have life.
Now,
and you need
who
to establish.
Else can show
exactly.
up?
Exactly. So I used to find myself sometimes in full drag going to the elevators, to reception, going up to the spa, standing on the street for an hour or so and just inviting people to watch a drag show. Sometimes families with grandmas and kids. But it paid off because they loved it, and then they came the week after, or they sent their friends, and all of a sudden it became somewhat of community. It's not huge, it's not big yet, but it's mine.
Oh, so, we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. And I always say it's never about how many people are, like, I know from a lot of my drag friends or a lot of gigs I did other places, there's always a huge... We put a lot of attention of how many people came to see us, or how many didn't came to see us. Because we said in the event it would be 60, but then there are only 10. But for me, it's always about the ones who are there, not the ones who are not there. Because there's so much I can do with the people who haven't showed up, right? But so the show would be the exact same energetically and in terms of like lineup. I will never have changes in the lineup unless because of I have a small audience or never. And sometimes I have 100 people there and sometimes I have 5. I enjoy the same way. It's about keeping on doing it until bam.
We've actually seen you perform 3 times now.
I'm lucky.
Twice with the House of once with the House of Presents, once for Violet Variety for the Berlin Bruisers, and once at the Axel Hotel. And each of those shows, you have a very interesting portion of your show where you lip sync in more than one language, and you do, I think, 4 or 5.
Usually in every show, like if it's my show, then in the set will be total of 8 languages, including English. I love it. I love international music. I'm listening to international music since I'm a very little boy. And one of the things that made me fall in love in Berlin is the fact that it's such an international city, that you can meet people from all over the world and different stories and different cultures. So once I hit the stage, not for the first time, but for the second or third time, especially in Silver Future, when I had my own journey, then I was sitting in the space for about 2 weeks in advance every now and then just to feel the audience, to see who's the population. And I've seen so many international people, I was like, I want to be able to give them something which is unfiltered for them. This is the language you speak. Now, I can never talk with everybody, of course, but I can do my best. So I started practicing the songs I really love in different languages, and all of a sudden I realized, wait, I have this and this and this and this, and I had a list at the time of 15 languages. And then we started a thing where the audience gave me challenges. Uh-huh. Like, which language you want to see me doing next week? And they'll be like, Swahili. And I love challenges, so I took it. And then the only thing they need to do is to be there next week to get their Swahili song. This is how it developed, and somehow it became my card. Like, oh, that bitch who lip syncs in every language, which I love, because I feel that my drag performance is based on hosting and lip sync. Mm-hmm. So I want both to be at the top of their game. So for me, lip syncing in any language is amazing.
But you can lip sync, I think it's in 30 languages now?
We did 28 so far.
28, okay. Well, how many languages do you actually speak?
Well, I speak 2 languages, like actually using them. Hebrew is my native tongue. This is what I will speak Hebrew. I will think in Hebrew. My heart beats in Hebrew. But since I moved to Berlin, then I'm communicating mostly in English. I understand quite well German, and I can survive if I'm in the forest or something. and I can understand Spanish, and I can even talk Spanish really well, really good. Depends how stoned I am. This is how it's proven to be. Like, I was traveling with my friends in Mexico and Guatemala, and it turned that whenever I'm super stoned, my Spanish is flawless to the point where I can get us discounts at hotels.
Ooh. Okay, so we need to travel with Judy.
Yeah, travel with Judy and make
sure
she's stoned. Exactly. And then, you know, escándalo.
Because of being able to be on stage, because of Judy and Judy's openness and willingness to talk about anything, how has drag changed you?
Wow. It basically, I never expected it to be such a huge step for my personal life, but it really saved my life the way I see it. I came to a point where I was not so inspired anymore by my work, by my art, by my stage. And something in the world of drag being so undefined. There are no limits. You can do anything, you can be anything, you can say whatever. Really opened me up. as much as there is a huge, and not huge, it's not the right word, but very clear separation between my stage persona and my private life, we feed each other. It always goes that way. Like if I take my own personal experiences and my own personal inspiration and bring them through Judy to stage, I give it to Judy so she can deliver a great number or a heartbreaking ballad. And she feeds me back with being more open and more accepting and less aware in a good way. Like, because we are wired to be always aware, to be proper, to be distant in a way. I thank God for Judy, but it's not anymore there.
How did you choose the name Judy La Divina?
Well, it has two parts. At the beginning, I was meant to be Nina Noir because I really love black, and I really love the name Nina. And then I figured there is a bitch called that way. So, you know. And then there is a sitcom in Israel, and there is one character which is super funny, but like for 5 seasons, she never like made a sound, not even a word. Randomly, she's there and she's just going, bam, and she disappears. And I, like total comedy, me and my friend, we call each other Judit, my best friend, for years and years and years. It's like, Judit, what are you doing? Judit, where are you? Like, this is our nickname to each other as a joke. And then I was like, wait, it's a drag persona. Well, it would be Judy. And then Judy Garland, and of course. But at the beginning, it was not so deep. It was just, yeah, Judy. Bam. And then I was struggling with finding La Divina. But I was in Milan, and I talked with my best friend and his friends about my drag plans. And they were like, describe her to me. Who is she? So I started to say how I imagine, how I see it, which type of numbers I want to do, what I want to wear, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, so La Divina. I was like, pause, hold, record, copy, paste, saved. This is my name. At the same day, I opened my Gmail account, my Facebook. No pictures, no nothing. But I was like, you have a name. Take it right now before someone else will.
When you are preparing for a show, you have talked about your private life and Judy. These are two separate entities for you.
Definitely.
At what point are you then Judy? Is it an hour before the show? Is it once the makeup is on? Is it when you step on stage? Where does the transformation hit?
Well, transformation for Judy hits in two very, very different times and spaces. The very visible, the very visible and very like the very clear transition will be once I'm putting my shoes and wig on, and then I'm standing in front of the mirror, and I'm like, "Hello," like I'm welcoming
There's
her.
There's Judy.
She arrived. She's here now.
Okay.
And then whoever's in the room, like, she's here, and then everybody's like, "Okay, well, everybody's aware she arrived." The other time when she's totally there would be the times when I'm in my room, maybe in my pajamas, with my headphones, with a joint, I'm closing my eyes, I'm hearing the track, and I'm practicing my lip sync. She's there. I'm out of me and I'm totally in her, because now I'm inspired by the song, so I'm totally there. So these are the two points of transformation.
That's interesting that you have that in two separate time periods.
Yeah, definitely.
One for the show and one when you're on your own.
Because the show is like, well, she has to be there for the show, you know. She is the show. So when I'm putting makeup and when I'm fixing my outfits or printing the lineup, it's not, I'm Ronan, I'm working. Mm-hmm. I'm preparing for her. I'm always say I'm working for her. Whenever someone meets me like without out of drag and be like, Oh, well, I'm working for Judy. That's the reality at the end of the day. And the other times I'm when I'm very, very inspired. So I need to see it. I need to see it in my brain, in my head, before it could be on stage. Sometimes I wish I had the budget to put it on stage the way I see it. But at the moment, since I don't have any budget, the only thing I have to work with is my face. So I'm super expressive. It's my face and my hands, and she's very divine. So I need to see it. And then when I practice it, she's totally there. No wig, no makeup. She's there.
Now, Judy LaDivina has a regular Friday night gig. However, what else is in the works? Do you have anything else coming up?
Well, I'm super, super, super lucky to be embraced by lots of different communities of queens.
Ooh.
One of the most supporting and inspiring for me was the House of Presence with Pansy. So from time to time, I'm there. I'm not a total part of the house yet, but it's a process. It also took me a long time to develop and to find myself before I'm putting myself as a part of something. Mm-hmm. So from time to time, I'm working with Pansy. I have my, soon enough, we're going to start a newbie night at Silver Future once a month, which will basically welcome all the newcomers to Berlin with a drag show, with Tell Mama, with an international lip sync, but have it more up close and personal because the space is way more intimate and yeah, it's totally unfiltered. I can wipe my head and take my sweat on people without even noticing. But it's okay. I'm sweating for them, so they should appreciate it.
Now, also, as a drag queen, you are generally, usually, at least what I've heard, always on the lookout for the next gig.
Always. Always. If someone hears it right now and wants to book me, I'm free. Just
okay.
Tell me when.
How do we get in touch with you to book you?
Facebook, Judy LaDivina. Instagram, Judy LaDivina. Gmail, judyladivina@gmail.com. LinkedIn, Vimeo. I'm trying to be everywhere. I'm not very good at it. I hate online and social medias. Like, I don't own a personal Facebook or Instagram account because it's just job for
it's
me.
It's Judy's
and it's job, and it's a great way because it helps me keep in touch with people that inspired me during the way, and I inspired them. So sometimes people who visited Berlin last year and now they're back again for their annual visit, they'll text me, hey, where are you performing this week, where we can see you again. So it's a great platform, which I'm super thankful for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's all about the middle. I don't like any of the edges.
Now, Judy does a lovely show with International Lip Sync and Tell Mama. If we were to book you, do you do birthday parties and corporate gigs and makeup on a man who's never had makeup on before? Or is there some things that you'll stay away from or things that you're preferred?
One thing I stepped away from was my friends call me stupid, but it's okay. I refused €150 for someone who wanted to lick my shoes. So this note.
Okay.
Other than that, I do anything everywhere.
And that was Judy LaDivina.
She mentioned starting up the new thing with Silver Future on every second Wednesday. I've lost the name of it now. Newbie Night.
Right.
Newbie Night. It has started. The next one will be on November the 8th.
So don't miss that. That's Judy LaDivina and someone else.
Hadar is...
Right. Hadar is involved in that as well.
There's a belly dancer for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, definitely, again, worth seeing. We're going to keep recommending all of this. There's just so many good shows. We attended Thursday, which as of this recording is yesterday. We were at Pharaoh Fawcett's Lab of Experimental...
Sparkle.
That wasn't what I was going to say, but hey, we'll take it. You are now leaving Sparkletown. Have a safe trip and welcome back anytime. We await you with open arms. And yeah, we've got a lot of exciting queens for you to listen to. So take care and visit us at Sparkletown Podcast on Facebook and Sparkletown Podcast on Instagram. And if you listen on iTunes, please leave a review because that helps a great deal. Bye for now.